Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We were killing some bad guys in a basement last week, and they were almost killing one of us. Won't say who.
Storm.
Hey. Let's turn it over to Rodrigo and get back into this game that I know that you are all anxiously awaiting.
That's right. So after fighting some monsters out on a warehouse district, the party followed them back to their hideout and found their hideout along with a lot of damage kind of front-loaded onto them. Right now, they are battling one of those weird gray creatures with the weird scars that open into rows and rows of deadly teeth and sometimes some singing, along with a new creature that is...
So it's a Jonas brother.
Yes. Along with a new creature that is mostly a head, a big head with like a frill and an eyeball, and then a lot of hands that it uses to clamber around. And... top of the round, since the guy who went before him is gone. Orym.
Okay, I am just going to... What?
Did I attempt my save?
I don't think so, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
Okay.
I'm just going to send six magic missile damage over to the snake guy.
Okay.
Well, he is obviously not a minion.
And magic missile does force damage?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? Does it trigger some additional damage?
He might be resistant to force, actually.
He might have to go...
He does not seem to be now that you've hit him with a force power.
That bastard.
He is not resistant to force.
He's not resistant to force?
No,
he's not.
But he,
didn't
but
go
he might
down.
Be resistant to something.
But he didn't go down either, so...
Yeah, no.
This is the first time he's been hit.
Oh, okay.
Hit.
All right.
Right.
With giant air quotes since it's magic missile. And
anything else?
Nope.
Anyhow.
All right. Cat.
Cat's turn. Yay. I get a turn. Yay. What am I doing?
Well, probably let's get fat. So.
Gutso.
Yeah. My advice would be kill something. That's all.
Gutso's warble thing was like an encounter type power, right?
Right. He hasn't done it again.
Hasn't.
I know.
He hasn't recharged, though, either. See.
Yeah, the recharge is for the... So I'm going to use Chains of Levistus on him.
I took Levistus once and nearly had an allergic reaction.
Or not. That was worthless.
Yay, warlocks.
Yay, us.
I don't think I've hit with Chains of Levistus yet.
Nope. Chains of Levistus is your witch fire,
yep.
which was mine.
Yeah.
This seems like a bad idea. This seems like a very bad idea.
Going to melee.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. And wait, just 1 second. Ooh, awesome. Take 4 necrotic damage and you're slowed. No. Sorry. Just take the 4 necrotic. That was something else.
Okay.
You must have ended your turn next to it.
Yep.
I knew it was going to be a bad idea.
So as you run up to him, you start seeing that, like, the rocks here are sharper, and so's the air.
Sharp air. Excellent.
So, on its turn, it's going to
shift. Don't think about it too hard, or you'll take psychic damage.
And...
why can't I have threatening reach?
It's going to... I'll probably go ahead and blast Orym again.
I tried to help you.
That's all right.
That's going to be a...
Framistat.
Oh, wait. Did that bonus only last till the end of your turn?
Yeah.
So its bonus is gone? Well, that sucks.
That's a 30 versus fortitude.
It didn't.
Why do you always roll 30 versus my fortitude? 3 times in a row that this thing has rolled 30 versus fortitude.
it has a strong affinity for your lack of fortitude.
It's also the same reason he keeps driving exactly one above my AC.
That's not true. Sometimes I get two or three above your AC.
It's, yeah, like four times in a row. 23? Does 23 hit? Hey, does 23? Yes, 23 hits, Rodrigo.
Hey, listen. Each of you has, what, four different defenses? I am not keeping track of each of them.
Is it 23?
So how much damage do I take?
You are taking 8 damage. Okay. Necrotic.
Okay.
And you are slowed. Save ends.
Okay. I was already slowed. Now I'm down to 12 for my hit points.
And let's see. Let's move.
Let's get rid of Fatso and then
now that
take care
has
of boss
a friend close
yep.
by.
That's what Rodrigo says after every podcast.
And then I leave. So that'll be its turn. Torque.
Hello. I get to attack now?
Yep.
Alright, so where am I?
You're like one away from Fatso and like within distance of, I think.
Yep.
You'd be able to.
Alright, let's hack the fat one in half.
Alright, so move up.
On a Reaping Strike?
Or do you want to back... Reaping Strike's probably better. He could just step onto the difficult terrain.
Rest two.
Yeah, that might be easiest, because that gives them the most non-difficult movement options.
That's true.
Step on the difficult terrain and attack?
Bloody yep. marker out of there.
Nat 20.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what? This die has a hilarious number 4.
No, that would be the point where I would be yelling crap cakes.
Gotcha. All right.
So it is. 19 plus 6, 5, and 3. 11, 14 plus 19 is 33. I'm going to throw in one extra just because I hate him. So 33.
Okay.
In the face.
Okay.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Is he bloodied?
No.
The fat guy is not bloodied.
No.
I don't think he's actually been hit yet.
He took, like, a little bit of magic missile damage, maybe. He had taken some damage, but...
No, I must be thinking of a previous fat guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Combat advantage to shift, should I do such a thing?
What?
Huh? Is there any advantage to shifting?
Oh.
You already used your move action to get up to him. He wasn't adjusted.
I used my move action. Okay.
Yeah.
No miners, I'm done.
Guts is going to try to recharge. I'm guessing Torque also marked him.
Probably.
Yes, I apologize. I forgot to mention.
He does not recharge, so he's just going to take a swipe at Torque.
Hey, Duck.
You do. This is going to be a 17 versus AC.
Does miss.
So clearly you didn't bloody him, but you hit him hard enough that he's a little gun-shy. And that's going to be his turn. Randus.
All right. I'm going to try to, get my crossbow out and try to magic weapon. Guts there. Since we're in a nice little huddle.
Really?
Did you get another 20?
Yes.
Awesome.
I'm a little scared now.
So, in the last
awesome.
Three episodes, Randus has rolled 3 nat 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Matthew has rolled 2 nat 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 nat 1s.
I know that I've
rolled
at least one 20.
Nat 20. And Rob has not rolled a nat 20.
So...
Steven, haven't you nat 1 at least twice?
Oh, yeah, I've done one nat 1 in the last three sessions.
And I did 2 in the last 3 sessions.
Might as well.
So we're like...
Okay, so now I'll use that daily weapon thing. Wait,
okay.
Yeah. Wait, no, we only get one per milestone, don't we?
Yeah. So did you already use one?
Well, I tried. The Kuchar's a second chance.
Oh, yeah.
To great effect.
So you wouldn't have been able to use the
Morningstar one anyway?
No. But we'll just go ahead with the magic weaponized, checking the critical hit damage. That's right. 2d6 necrotic.
Was this on your crossbow?
Yep. So 8 necrotic with the base.
Wait, don't you just do max damage, though, on that? Why do you have to roll on that?
Because this is his critical damage.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So whatever I said, plus... what's it? With the 14 normal damage.
Okay. Give me 1 second to calculate. Anything else on top of that damage? No.
Allies adjacent to me get plus 1 power bonus to attack rolls and plus 2 damage.
All right. I get plus 1 to attack.
Until the end of my next turn.
And what'd you say to damage?
Plus 2.
Plus 2 plus power two bonus to damage.
Damage. Excellent.
I wonder if that would factor into magic missile.
No.
Would it not?
Magic missile. If the implement using this power is an enhancement bonus, no. In addition, you can use this power as a range. Nope.
Well, it's a plus 2 to damage, so would it not?
Nope. Now it is bloodied. No, because... well... it doesn't say attack rolls and damage rolls?
Oh, does it say rolls? Good question.
Because if it does, that doesn't even matter.
But that's if I decide to use magic missile.
Right. You get a, you know,
yeah, you could, you know,
use anything else.
Where's my point? There you
go. It was just a... it was something that would probably come up in the future anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Each ally adjacent gains a plus 1 power bonus to attack rolls and a power bonus to damage rolls equal to your con modifier or wisdom modifier until the end of my next turn.
So that does bloody guts, though.
Yay! I bloodied him.
Yeah, you did. Alright. That is now the top of the round. Minus save against minus 5 to saves.
Not nat 20. That's a no.
Okay.
See, now they're reversing.
Hey.
I'll take it. As long as I don't have anything I got to save against, I'll take it.
Orym, you are slowed.
Yes, I am slowed. But since I've got this little bonus here, I'm going to use my Scorching Burst against the Worm Man.
Okay. Your Scorching Burst comes from your wand, so you have to spend a minor action taking out your wand.
I can't shoot that through my...
no, because it's a power burst that you want to get through the wand.
I'll use a minor then and pull out my wand.
Okay.
And do a Scorching Burst. It's a burst 1. So that's 10 plus 9 is 19 plus...
2? No, plus 1
plus
for attack.
Plus 1 is 20.
Versus 20.
Versus reflex.
Nope. It scrambles away from you.
All right.
Let's call it names behind its back.
Then that is all I shall do.
Okay.
Except get him, guys. Get him.
Cat.
I'm trying. Right behind you.
Hmm.
But I am down to 12 hit points.
Should have just stayed in the huddle with us.
Well.
Oh, I need to do a roll against slowed.
Oh, yeah.
5, no.
Okay.
Sucking at the saving.
Oh, I probably wouldn't hit with that, but we'll try it anyways.
What are you trying?
Going to use my wand encounter power. I bite on the centipede.
Okay.
You bite?
My
sometimes.
Eyes do. That's an 11.
Total?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That will not hit.
I didn't think it would.
We his awesome.
Anything else?
I'm debating.
Come join us.
Join us.
So that we can get the bonuses to defenses when Torque kills the guts.
True. Torque, you are too big.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
No necrotic damage for Cat.
I considered it.
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Centipede turn.
Hi.
Oh, look, there's still Orym over there.
God.
You didn't heal him, did you?
Nope.
Razor Shard. No. Death Bolt.
Death Bolt!
Only 30 against your fortitude. No.
I'm pretty sure that Razor Shard and Deathbolt.
This one's only 29.
No, this one's actually 31.
Okay.
Just because you complained.
Uh,
14 damage, and you were slowed.
I am dead.
Oh, crap.
You're not dead.
I am just unconscious.
That's all right.
I am at -2.
Ba-thump.
And Orym goes down like a bag of hammers.
Should have healed him.
Yeah.
You
he
think?
He was all right.
You
can't trust
not on your last turn.
Stuff.
That was two turns ago, Brian.
Yeah. That's all right.
And it's going to move.
He didn't say anything.
1, 2, 3 over here. Do-do-do. Torque.
Hello. All right. Let's look at this here board here and see.
You got gadgets.
I think our strategies as a team are really impressive. We're evolving.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And I say that to preface my usual, I'm just going to cut him in half.
Awesome.
There's a fat guy over there what needs killing, and I'm a reaping strike in the face.
Go for it.
Man, I got to get to level 21. 22 to hit.
Nope.
Did you add the +1 from me?
There's a +1 from you?
Yes.
23 to hit.
That'll hit.
Yay!
Magic weapon for the win.
Yay.
Magic weapon! And you know what that means?
D12
plus 9. 1d12
plus
9.
Plus 1 or 2.
That's what the 9
plus 2! Ha ha! 11 plus 9. No, 7 plus 2.
Wait, hold
yes.
on.
Yes.
11 plus 9 is the total. Is you,
okay. 20.
11 plus 7 plus 2.
Plus 2.
So 20.
20 in the face.
Is he dead yet?
He is dead.
Yes!
Everybody gets a +2 to bonus to their defenses.
Including Orym.
Yay! +2 to
now,
defense.
Now, do I need to... I don't need to roll against saving anything because I'm not slowed, am I?
You are not slowed. Yeah, there, you have no conditions on you.
Okay. I am unconditional.
So you can either stay here with us and hope that maybe I can hit with a magic weapon again, or go head towards Sneaky Man.
I would just stay with us and hope that Randus hits with the magic weapon.
All right.
I rolled 2 20s in a row, so I wouldn't count on it.
I'm going to hold for now.
Okay.
Turn
over. Randus.
All right. Heal your healing surge +7.
My healing surge +7. So now it would be 5. I'd be up to 16 hit points.
Oh, still bloody. You do remember to start from 0, right?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So that's 18.
18. Yeah.
Hit points. I thought I had to take in the deficit that I was in.
I could heal him more, but I think I'm going to take this prime opportunity of the huddle to try to shoot Snake Man with my crossbow.
So I'm awake but down?
Yep.
And what happens if I
prone.
What happens if I attack prone?
Should have went with the healing.
Take a -2 to your attack.
Okay.
But it's a move action to stand up, so.
But Magic Missiles doesn't have any negatives, so.
17
fire
versus AC?
From the ground.
No. I wouldn't think so. I rolled a 4.
Okay. All right. Top of the round. Orym. Oh, minus roll save versus saves.
And actually, I'm.
He's actually having to save against
I save.
Save.
Hooray!
I think I probably would have moved it, but nah.
Now Orym turn.
6 against the snake monster.
Okay.
I'm firing from the ground. Pew, pew!
Nice. There's that. You can just stay there. And
that's true, because that does give you a bonus against ranged attacks.
Hey.
Just you're totally... You're just holding your sword like it's like it's a rifle, and you're just down on the ground.
Pew, 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 pew.
He's that one green army man
really
that's no fun to play with.
Noise with his mouth as he's,
as he's blasting. Pew, pew. You know, you don't need to do that. It makes an awesome noise.
I'm a little wonky after coming out of unconsciousness.
Yep.
Magic missile sounds like a Roman candle.
Cat. Yes.
Move forward.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Charge.
Okay.
Whatever the frack this thing is called. Eldritch Strike.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Let's see. Crud.
20 versus AC?
That'll hit.
Yes!
Nice.
Throw my curse damage in on this.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this isn't that boss monster.
10 damage?
10 damage. Okay.
And I will slide him this way.
Okay.
Which way? Because then I won't be able to shoot him.
Here?
Yes. Yeah, you will.
Okay. He'll just let you. As opposed to, you know, trying to save against the difficult terrain thing.
And fall prone.
Yep.
Yep. But now he has to do all sorts of stuff to get around me.
Yep.
Oh.
But he's not. Is he still within my sight?
The other option would have been to slide him out so that Chork could charge him if he wanted to.
Chork can charge him right there. I mean, he'd get the concealment or cover or whatever.
Okay. Anything else?
No. Take four versus, or take four necrotic. Yeah, I'm at 42.
Okay. And it's going to just kind of slap its razor hands at Ket.
Cool. Oh, everybody lost their bonus to defenses.
Meh.
All of it. You are all at zero.
Ooh.
We lost all of our bonuses when we'd just be at 10.
does your Eldritch Strike or whatever do any kind of damage? Just damage. Untyped?
Okay. Does weapon damage.
Awesome. It's going to, slap at Ket. That's low. Yeah, that's going to be an 18 versus AC.
That will miss even without my concealment.
Yay! Kay.
And then he's going to try to move. So you can get an attack of opportunity on him.
Yay.
All right, where is he moving first?
He's moving. He has declared that he is moving.
Okay.
He is moving out
which
of the square?
Okay, he's moving out of the square. Which square is he moving into right now?
We'll
which
say this
way is
one.
He going?
Okay. Juke. He can move there.
Okay.
He'll let him do that.
I will let him do that.
Well, then don't you just let him move?
No, because every time he leaves a square that provokes that I threaten, he provokes an opportunity attack.
Oh, so you're waiting
so
for
So I'm
the
waiting
next time
for him to move out of that square so as I could slide him back into the square that he was in.
All right.
Is it going to move?
Is he moving still?
Yeah.
That's going to be a
miss.
17 versus AC.
Okay.
Nah.
Oops. He doesn't work. Yes. That would be awesome. Although it's exactly the opposite thing that he wants to do.
Yep.
You're kay.
Coming with me.
That's its turn. Torque.
Hello.
There's a snake caterpillar.
There's a snake in the bucket. Dear Liza, a snake.
Something.
Now, question for you.
Yes.
Can you hear my music in the background? The ice cream truck just drove by. That's anyway, cool. I have in my possession, per my annotated character sheet, a couple of throwing weapons.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Minimum damage, right? Or regular throwing damage or whatever? There's no bonus to his throwing weapons, is there?
Proficiency.
Proficiency and
his strength.
Considerable strength.
Oh. I am proficient.
Yep.
Sort of.
And he is strong.
I have a throwing hammer.
Mm-hmm.
Is a throwing hammer still a 1d8 weapon?
It's whatever like we told you. It's like a 1d6, isn't it?
1d6, okay.
You'd probably be better off just moving around and charging him.
Charge him in the face!
Or you could just walk up to him.
I can
actually,
walk up
he
to
couldn't.
I thought he could.
He's only
oh,
five.
Wait, never mind. Five.
But just
but
one,
he can
two,
move
three,
and charge.
Four.
But he's one away from the...
Charge.
He can move and charge and then smack him on the head. Let's do that.
And curse, schmuck him.
Ah,
and then
dang
he gets
it.
The plus one to
Nat one.
Which didn't matter.
Yep.
But you can mark him if you want.
Yes, I will mark him.
And does he have to take four necrotic damage?
Once he ends his turn, he will.
Okay.
Anything else, Torque?
Nice today.
He doesn't have an
action. Can I move back far enough to not take four necrotic damage?
No. No. It, and all right. Yeah, actually, a charge ends your turn, so no. So go ahead and take four necrotic as... You walk into some seriously, seriously pointy air.
It's like a wave of mutilation.
Yep. Randus.
All right. So, are you still bloodied?
Yep.
18.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and spend my standard action patching him up with physician's care.
Okay.
Skill power, so he can spend a healing surge.
I can spend a healing surge?
Yep.
All right, so I'm up to 30.
Well, I'll start heading up.
Or, I'm sorry, 29.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Cool.
Huddle.
Hi.
Hello.
Anything else?
That'll be all for now.
Take 4 necrotic damage.
Right. What? Oh. It's not just adjacent to him?
Nope.
Dang it.
I think it's within 2 squares of.
Necrotic damage.
And top of the round.
Almost bloodied.
Orym.
Pew, pew, pew for 6.
Okay.
We should have sound effects for all of our attacks.
No, you shouldn't.
Oh, I think I should, because my comet fall charge will be... Dun, 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 dun.
Cat.
Eldritch Strike.
Okay.
That's going to hit. That's a 27.
Nice.
That'll hit. Yep.
Throw my curse damage in there.
Whoops.
Counting a lap roll.
I'll re-roll it.
Looks good to me.
13 damage, and we will slide him in between the three of us.
Really? Okay.
Okay.
Do you not want to be?
Not particularly.
We'll get flanking that.
Okay, well, then we will slide him next to the wall.
Well, you can if you want the flanking. I guess go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll just shift out. Well,
thank you. Right now, I mean, I'm going to take the necrotic damage anyways.
Yeah.
Ow. I end my turn.
Okay. That way.
I can't even shift out to get away.
Alright. Centipede turn. He's going to shift over here.
He's not even bloodied, is he?
Worse.
Oh, wait. I guess Torque does get an attack if she shifts over there.
Yep.
Ah, I attack him!
He might not shift over there then. Actually, yeah, he will. Go ahead and take your attack.
I attack him!
Alright. Make it good.
28.
It'll hit.
Ha 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 ha! I attack him for 8 damage.
Yeah.
Okay.
With my +7.
Wow!
Nice.
He is bloodied.
Yay!
Duck!
Doesn't that stop his shift?
Oh yeah, it does.
It does. When I attack my attack, he no longer gets to move.
And... He will... Attack... What does he attack that to? He'll go ahead and attack Cat.
Hi.
Because he hates him the mostest. That's not going to hit. That's like a 15. And that's its turn. Torque.
What?
Your turn.
I just attack.
That was an immediate attack.
So flanking gives me bonus to attack.
Yep.
Flanking gives me a +1.
Two. +2.
+2, but not to damage.
Correct.
19 +2 +13 hits. I'm not even going to do math on that.
34.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, that hits.
Roll it.
12 +7, 19. Are there any numbers on these dice other than the 1 and the maximum number? Because I don't recall seeing any numbers. Framistat. We don't have an action point, so I can't cash an action point.
Correct.
He is currently marked.
It's not worth moving away from him. So call it good and let Randus hit him.
Be done. Randus is up.
Okay, I'll try. I'll magic weapon him with my Morning Star.
Take four necrotic.
This necrotic gangrich is making me angry.
Magic Morningstar weapon to the face? No.
Kay.
Probably not. Just to make sure, 15 versus AC?
No.
Nope.
Anything else?
Actually, 16. No.
No? Take 4 necrotic?
Yeah.
Bloodied.
Is it bloodied?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Orym.
Pew, pew, pew! 6 damage.
Okay.
Pew to pew to pew.
You could probably actually stand up now.
Yeah, I think we got it pretty well.
He's actually enjoying the rest, I think.
Yeah, pew, magic pew, missile. Pew.
You should teleport while you're underground, then. Teleport while on the ground. Okay. Just because you can.
Just because you can.
Cat.
Yay.
Oh, Orm, save versus slow.
15.
Hooray, finally.
Commander Strike. Thorkelson, hit it again.
Okay. Just a basic attack?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
An 18 doesn't hit.
No.
Okay. Did you add 2 for flank?
A 20 doesn't hit.
A 20 hits.
Oh, well, then a 20 hits him. 14 points of damage.
17.
Okay.
17 points of damage.
I give you an extra bonus because I kind of...
Because of your commanderiness.
Awesome. I like that.
That's why I did that instead of my... melee attack, because my melee attack is crap for damage.
And that destroys it.
Yay!
It also...
Totally my kill.
Disappears into a pool.
Really?
Of nothingness.
I'm kidding.
It was on his attack.
That's actually a cool power.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way you could, like, force me to do one of my magic powers.
None of them count as melee basic attacks.
Right. See, this is my problem when it comes to the magical fighter powers.
Orm stands up, dusts himself off. Well, that was not very pleasant.
I'm going to spend me a healing surge.
Yeah, I'll spend 2.
What was that thing?
I don't know, but it was creeped me the heck out.
And how many healing surges does everybody have?
I am taking... all the rest of my healing surges to bring myself back up to 45.
I've burnt.
I've got.
You stole 2 from me earlier?
Yep.
So I burnt 5. 2 will bring me back up to maximum.
Roll up my sleeve.
Here. Look. So I take 2 from him.
From Cat.
You'll get it back if you need it enough.
Give me an Arcana check.
All right.
Everybody?
No, just Randus.
Oh, okay. Just Randus.
No. Oh, yeah.
14.
14? Okay. So what else do you guys do?
I want to look around and see if there's anything down here.
Okay. You guys start looking around. You guys fan out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Start digging through the rubble or...
poking cautiously with our weapons drawn.
Okay. Everybody give me a perception check.
Hey. Oh, look. There's more creatures. No.
He
will. 15. 22.
27. 22. Okay. So you're all looking around, and Randus realizes that that thing over there is not a wall. Well, it was a wall, but it collapsed onto a door. So he kind of takes out his Morningstar and gives it a couple whacks and finds that there is another room past it.
Hey, guys, I found another room.
Once you guys step into that room, you find what is a relatively short, probably you can call it an obelisk. It is, we'll say, 4 feet tall. Kind of rough. It does... seem to have kind of a rectangular base and then comes to a point, but the edges are very rough and the shape itself is kind of rounded. So it looks kind of like a bullet that actually has edges, if that makes any sense. It is pure black and has these runes inscribed on it.
Interesting.
Can I translate it? Do I recognize it?
Yeah, do we recognize the runes at all?
Go ahead and give me an Arcana check.
34.
Not 1.
Okay.
26.
Okay. Well, both Randus and Orim realize that that's not, and, you know, it's probably not actually a language. It's probably just some kind of, like, it's the way that if you look at a circuit board, you don't actually read, you know, any letters on it, but you guys have a good idea that this is obviously something magical and something that grounds power in some way.
I wonder if this is something that's being activated to let these creatures to pop in and out.
Yes. That would kind of be my theory. Like I said, we could try to study it more, see if we can, you know, use what and any lingering energies there are to pinpoint what other ones there are, or we could just try more or less deactivating it and see.
I say we smash it.
For once, I'm with Torque.
All right.
If there's more of them on the other side...
Yeah, but if this is the thing that's... If this is the only one that's pulling them in, smashing it would probably...
Or there could be several keystone...
If we figure that there's more than one place where they's attacking, and that this lets them through, then you can figure maybe there's more of these. Can we, like, write down everything we know about it so maybe we can use your magiciness to identify other ones or something?
That's what I'd consider.
Yeah.
Do any of us have any kind of a tracing spell?
You like do a tracing
spell.
Like, see if it's connected to any, if we can track any of those other obelisks from this one?
Maybe.
Like a homing beacon?
You guys might be able to do that.
Let's start studying it.
Okay. Yeah. You start poking at it.
Yeah.
This setting is, up. Like, if you, Brian, were a scientist, this is probably written... in a little, like, think of a two little babies. They are German, and they're twins. This is written in the secret language of two German twins. So right. You're not going to be able to just kind of flick at it and figure out where it does. This is going to take you possibly days to crack.
Well, I still kind of feel that this is currently our best lead right now. Kind of think that maybe that might be time well spent.
Staying here and studying it.
Yes.
Because I don't think it'd be wise to take it back to the...
I don't think we necessarily want to move it before we have any better idea of what exactly its purpose is.
We should probably contain this area. Do you guys have the little cube thing yet? We don't have the little cube. Okay.
What little cube thing?
The cube thing, what they use to... contact everybody else.
Alright.
Oh, okay. I thought we had it, don't we?
Mm-mm. No, we don't yet have any communication device.
Well, one of us, one or two of us, should stay here, and at least one of us needs to go let the rest of them know what's going on here so as we can contain this area.
Good point.
And see if we can't, you know, start working out ways to find others if this isn't the only one.
Well, I suppose if we're going to split the party.
Can we just, one of us go up and look for one of the local police force? And
well,
you seem to be able to track them very well.
Right. Isn't our taxi supposed to be waiting for us here shortly anyhow?
Sure.
How long has it been?
About a minute or so. Maybe, it's probably been about 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, we did have, like,
so we're waiting in a taxi for about another 55 minutes.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah.
There are places where you can call a taxi.
Yeah.
Probably not nearby, but, you know, if you hoof it for a few blocks, you might be able to call one.
All right. I will go let the authorities know. I don't want to leave... just the two of you down here with this thing in case it summons, a couple of creatures.
That ain't happening.
Yeah.
If they're down here, I'm going to be down here because anything come out of there, I'm going to cut it in half.
All right. So, yeah, I suppose you go report back, come back as soon as you can so that we can all try to stay relatively sane.
Can you bring me some funnel cakes or a sandwich or something?
I'll get us something to eat, yeah.
All right.
Let's go ahead and get a basic description of this thing written down first, so as I have something to give them to look at, to send out right away.
Very well.
It's a magic-y thing.
Pull out one of my pods of casting. Here is one of our amazing pods of casting. Not only does it capture all of the audio from our adventure, it also captures images as well.
But only from about every 3 seconds or so.
He's working on it.
Yeah. That. You should be able to extract the image that you need and show it to them.
Okay.
Okay.
And, yeah, I'll head up and go find us a taxi.
Okay.
The rest of us are going to sit down and start studying this, and that sounds like a good place to take a break at this point. Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. One of our questions this week comes from Wesley, who says, you guys should have a small series in which you run a small adventure in AD&D First Edition.
Yes. Yes, we should.
The books are dirt cheap, and it might be interesting to see your take on the beginning. Rodrigo.
Pass.
I also,
wait. Let me sweeten the pot.
Okay.
It's going to have Matthew.
It's going to have...
You can't pass twice, can you?
It's going to have Thacko. Let me sweeten the pot a bit more.
Oh, God.
Thacko's
what if Matthew,
this predates
what
Thacko.
If Matthew offered to run a game of AD&D?
This didn't even have the fix of Thacko to help smooth
it. So it's got random character attack charts, tables?
Matthew...
Yes.
If Matthew offers to run... First edition. I'm going to attach a no offense to my pass.
I'm also going to pass because I don't have the time nor the inclination to want to learn a whole new set of rules that I have
Steven
no interest in.
Steven gets to be a dungeon master because Steven, look at me, I'm Steven.
We will play in a game you run as long as it's 4th edition.
But I can't run 4th edition.
Well, sure, why not?
Yeah. Again.
Hey, I read that.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Oh, you want to play like that? All right.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain I don't want to try and learn previous editions of D&D. I don't even want to go back to 3.5, which I know inside and out. It's just... Eh.
AD&D Volume 1 is infinitely superior to 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 is an inherently flawed system.
Oh, I understand this. That just... I understand 3.5 inside and out. I really know how it works, and I don't want to go and play that.
Mm-hmm.
Which lends me to the whole having to learn a new, different version of D&D.
It's taken us this long to break all of our third edition bad vestigial habits. Limbs.
Yep.
So picking up a new edition
I believe the answer, Faithful Spoiler Right, is we very much appreciate the feedback, but unfortunately, 80% of us are cowards.
I would be opposed
perfectly
to.
Willing to play a number of other games that might be suggested. I don't want to do another version of D&D because it will just throw my rules thing off.
It would be the equivalent of trying to go from Legion Volume 1, number 20, to Legion Volume 3, number 10. It doesn't... You can't really move back and forth easily.
Hmm.
So we have one more question before we get out of this section. It's from Thomas, who says, guys, your show is great, but I need some help. I am 12. I've been DMing for a year. Usually I don't have problems with the players, but when I decided to run a group of villain characters, I had a player that ran his character a lot out of control, and I don't know what to do with him. Rodrigo, have you ever ran the Tomb of Horrors campaign?
I haven't, but I have run evil games before.
Mm-hmm.
And the important thing, if you want to run a game in which the characters are evil, you need to give them an incredibly strong motivation to work together. Because a lot of people play evil as random. And that's not necessarily how it should be played. It's for the same reason that...
Wait, you mean people are just like, oh, I'm evil, I'll just do this because I'm evil?
That's right, I'm evil. Right.
I backstab the party member.
I backstab, and that's the primary thing that a lot of people will do in an evil game.
I shoot the adventure hook in the face with my most powerful
is attack spell. Party members. They'll be like, oh, well, we, the evil party, need information. Let's go to these peasants and squeeze it out of them. Well, I'm evil, so I'll just set the whole village on fire and kill all of them. You know, I mean, it tends to become an excuse to just do random carnage, which then sets back the game.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So if you run a campaign, really just like any campaign, you need to give the players a strong motivation to do things. If all of the players are lawful, good, religious types, you don't need as much of an incentive for them to go take down a demon on a hill. But... You know, it's always nice to have that incentive. Why would the characters all band together and do this? Sometimes, in an evil campaign, the best incentive is there's something bigger and more evil than you that's telling you to do this. And that seems to work pretty well because people are familiar with the feudal system of evil,
mm-hmm.
which, you know.
Well, I would just say that...
Or what I like to refer to as the corporate system of evil.
That too.
Yeah, I was going to say, just look
evil
at all
is
the...
a growth industry.
Look at Spectre. Look at the... what is Love Muffin? The on Phineas and Ferb, the Association of Evil... science, I forget what it is, but it's all the mad scientists doing mm-hmm. things together as a group.
The Venture Brothers, the
Guild of Calamitous Intent.
What is it? The Guild of Calamitous Intent, exactly.
Yeah. And also, I would recommend, Thomas, if you haven't, head over to majorspoilers.com, go under the, I think it's the columns category up at the top menu, mm-hmm. and go down to Gamer's Corner. Rodrigo wrote an excellent article some time ago talking about how to deal with problem players.
That's right.
And you might want to check that out and, to get some information. Anybody else want to offer some suggestions to Thomas?
Oh.
Anytime you have a troublesome player, the first thing that I would do is the same thing I have if I have a troublesome coworker, which is address it directly in a non-confrontational manner, and say, here's what I'm getting here. Here's why it's a problem. What can you and I do to make this work better for both of us?
Okay. Rob?
I've run actually a few different evil campaigns, and when I do an evil campaign, it's the opposite half of a good campaign that I'm actually running at the same time.
Mm.
For some ridiculous reason, every group of evil characters I've run works together better than the group of good characters.
Which is, that's the thing, is that I think a lot of people who haven't really sat down and thought, how do evil people act? They're just acting like serial murderers who are, you know, evil.
Right.
And not acting like Skeletor, who has a bunch of little doofus guys that he sends around and who actually works together with them. Granted, he will, like, boil them and stuff afterwards, but not until they fail. Yes, not until they've already failed.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, you need to set up a NPC that is Skeletor, mm-hmm. who is in charge of your guys, or...
Your
a number.
Wait, right. This guy's 12. I don't think he's going to know Skeletor.
True. Dr. Doom over the Masters of Evil. Over the Masters of Evil. Baron Zemo over the Masters of Evil.
Pretty much everybody over the Masters.
Lex Luthor over the Injustice League.
Lex Luthor and the Injustice League. It's a good...
Wasn't Majin Buu like the head of all the other
Boos? No, I don't think so.
No. The Bibbidi was kind of the head of them.
Dr. Gero and his robots.
Yes.
We'll do that.
But you just need to find someone who is the head of the organization, and these guys are part of said evil organization
mm-hmm.
who have to listen to him. They can do some backstabbing and infighting to position themselves better, but they need to complete whatever tasks are given forth by their leader.
Furthermore, as D&D is big on getting actual monetary and, you know, power rewards, have those rewards come from the evil NPC that's driving the characters and not necessarily from looting and pillaging.
There you
because
go.
That way they have more of an incentive to work together and to be the bestest evil guys that they can be.
All right, and that'll do it for these questions this week. Before we go, here are a couple of 5-star reviews over at iTunes. Thanks so much to Arathorn, who says, as an on and off D&D player, I love it. I think it would be great for anybody, including those who don't play, and for those who play a lot. Good work. Keep it up, guys. And Shabababam, Maramabam. I don't know how you say that, but I'm not a great fan of D&D with a science fiction bent, but this still remains entertaining and compelling. I'm especially enjoying the current game, Master's Workshop series. It's closer to the old school D&D, which I prefer. Podcast has rekindled some of the feelings that I've had many, many years ago when I used to DM to a group of amazing role players back in the early 80s. That was a long time ago. Perhaps it's the upcoming new season. The company will return in more traditional D&D theme. Either way, I shall return. And as you know, that Game Masters campaign, which is over, was just a self-contained workshop.
That's
It was originally supposed to just run a week during our anniversary,
mm-hmm.
but we got busy and didn't get it recorded in time. So that's why it was spread out over a month and a half. But you know, hopefully you're still enjoying Four Against the Void. I think we've got some crazy stuff going
on. Actually, it's not Four Against the Void anymore.
Oh, what is it now?
This season's called Celestial Crusade.
The Celestial Crusade. I need a banner.
I also like the Untouchable Trio
for Celestial Crusade. I'm going to have to look. All right.
We are on top of things.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. We will be back next week. And until then, here's hoping all your dice rolls are critical hits.
So good, it's like you're there!